Ha ha. Yes, the Lord of heaven says he answers by fire. He's a consuming fire. He consumes our sacrifice. That's a good thing. The Lord has consumed. He has received our sacrifice this morning. And it became a sweet smelling savor into his nostrils. Ain't that awesome? Daddy's pleased. Amen. It's good when daddy's pleased. And especially if mama's pleased. Well, he's both. I tell you what, mama not happy, nobody happy. God is always full of joy. It saddens him when his family acts up, but he still loves us regardless. And he sees the end from the beginning. Amen. So today, right now, I want you to take your vision list. And today, Lord, we're presenting this vision to you that we have personally confessed this vision, which was on the back. In three areas, Father God, we're believing and trusting you. For 2021, we already have the victory of what we're going to desire to give into the kingdom of God this year. We're presenting it before you today, Father, and before this congregation. We're coming together in unity and agreement that we're going to see your kingdom come and be our lives be consumed with your glory and your goodness, spirit, soul, and body this year. Lord, that everything that we owe, every debt be eliminated to your glory. Every debt, cast that care to the Lord. We've got our part to do, Lord, but we can't do your part. We can't do the supernatural part. We're going to do our natural part. We're going to love you, and we're going to love people, and we're going to worship you in spirit and in truth. And then, Lord, you have put desires in our heart to do mighty things here on this earth. Without limitations, Lord, we're believing we're going to see great mighty things done in our lives, in our families, in our city, in our nation, in the world. That's what you've called us to do. And we thank you, Father God, for giving us the faith to do it. So lift up your confession this morning. Lift up your vision statement. I'm going to pray over it. The Lord's going to consume it. And then we're going to make room to receive it. So if you got a savings account, maybe get you two. If you want two dishwashers, get ready. Whatever you desire. Now, it's going to be a goodly, godly desire, but we're going to trust the Lord that he's faithful to his word and his promises. Father, I thank you, Lord, according to Psalms 37:4-5. You said, if we delight ourselves in you, O Lord, that you shall give us the desires of our heart. And Lord, these desires will begin to manifest in our lives. Lord, we commit our way unto the Lord and trust in you. And Lord, you said you will bring it to pass. And Father, as you increase us in the earth, we will thank you today and every day that according to 2 Corinthians 9:7-8, as we purpose in our hearts to give and sow into the kingdom of God, not grudgingly, not out of need or necessity, but with a cheerful heart, we have given to you and we lift up our thanks and praise and adoration to you today. That Lord, you promised you will make all grace abound to us this year in a measure that we've never experienced before. So we will always be able to give into every good work that you call us to give into, Lord, that you bring across our path. And Father, we ask you to forgive our debts. Lord, as we forgive those that brought us into debt and started the debt system. And Lord, we present these debts to you today, and we thank you for your word in Romans 13:8 that says that we should desire to owe no man nothing. To owe no man nothing but the debt of love. So Lord, we're trusting you at your word that you that will fulfill the law, that we can be set free from this debt so we can have more of your blessing in our finances to help others that are weak and help others that don't have. So today, Lord, we call our debts eliminated. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though yet he was rich, for his sakes he became poor. For our sakes he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be rich. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now I want you to take this vision and I want you to put it somewhere special at home. Make your sacred place. Put it somewhere where you only you know it's at. And you keep looking at it. And you keep thanking God that this vision will come at the appointed time. If you, the Bible says, if you faint not. So I don't want to hear none of you guys fainting of what we confess today, of what God's going to do in your life and in your children and in your children's life. That's the promise we have. Amen. That's the promise we have. So at this time, we're going to receive the communion because we serve a covenant God. I said we serve a covenant God. He puts things in blood. He signs it and seals it with blood. Why? The life is in the blood. My life, our life, Lord, we put in your hands. Every day, every first Sunday, we set aside a Sunday, Lord, to take communion, to fellowship with your word, with the word, not with the world. This is not for the world. This fellowship is with the word. You got born again? This is for, this is our covenant meal that Jesus took. No longer do I call you my disciples. He said, I call you my friends. Or servants, I call you my friends. You're a friend of God. So if you'll take, and I like these little new ones, we can open up the bottom and get the bread without spilling anything. Amen. Jesus became poor on the cross. His body was beaten and mauled, and you couldn't even recognize it was a body, so that you could have a body that could be recognized with health and wholeness and wellness. The curse was reversed on the cross. So I don't confess to be a diabetic. I confess to be a Christian, a Christ follower. So that means all these curses are in the past. Keep them there. Let's keep them there. Amen. The devil don't want them there, but that's the fight of faith we fight. Jesus' body made me whole. We receive that wholeness today, Lord. And we thank you for this cup that we're about to receive. This was a cup. This juice represents your blood that became the sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice of a sinless life lived so that we could live the blessed life. The blessing of Abraham came upon us through faith of what Jesus did. And Jesus, we thank you for bringing us in on that cross to all mankind. For God so loved the world, that he gave. So we receive this cup today. The cup of blessing. Say, I receive the cup of blessing.
The cup of blessing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Praise you, Lord. You can just worship the Lord because he is worthy of all of our praise. What a glorious day to be in his house, called by his name. Thank you, Jesus, for calling us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Our children will be dismissed for children's church. You know, I was thinking as a kid, we were singing that song, Victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today is mine. You remember those little boxes of sweetheart candies you'd get And we'll say, somebody will say, somebody's mine. Something is mine.
Be mine.
Well, yeah, would you be mine there? I remember the mines. Be mine. But you know what? There's something sweeter than that candy. Victory, Jesus, be mine. That's what I was thinking about. Was there Jesus in those boxes? I don't think they were they? Man, the whole purpose of love, Jesus has got to be the center of it. But the world, all they want to give you is candy. There's something sweeter than candy. Amen. It's Jesus. If you'll let him be yours, your life will be so much sweeter. Man, I went through hell when I was little, as far as my home, because Jesus, God, wasn't a part. My dad was an alcoholic and abusive, and you know what? But there was still a God that loved me and did all that he could to protect me, and he did. I'm here. I'm alive. Thank God for his mercy. And it wasn't him. I've come to find out. There's a lot of things I didn't know, but there's a lot of things I've learned. And I tell you what, as long as you're living, you can still learn. You're still learning. Amen. Be teachable. Always be teachable. And to be corrected. I've had to correct some things I believed. You got to lay it on the scripture. If you can't find it there, you got to don't eat it. Don't partake of it if it's not in the scriptures. And sometimes you got to dig in the scriptures. You know, that's King James. I got a King James Bible. I got a New King James. Man, he gave his life to get that word written. But there was a dark age where they didn't even have the word. Man, we got it on our phones, on our tablets, all kind of versions. Man, we living in the day to where, man, we under grace. The word is precious. But you got to eat it. Just like your body needs natural food, your spirit needs that word. I'm guilty. I don't consume the word like I need to. But I ain't where I used to be. But I ain't where I need to be yet. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Father. Well, I'm going to have a little help with my laptop. Thank you, Jesus. I got more time than I thought I'd be at this point in the service. But you know what? God can have all the time he needs in this place. Thank you, Father. Me and Reed, we was up here that stopped by because our video update project is going to start either Monday or Tuesday this week. Met with John last night, me and Leo, and Pastor Reed stopped by, but he's looking to come in and start doing some wiring, get our camera set up. But we was talking about snow. For some reason, Pastor Reed and Tammy, they just don't care too much for snow. So I'm like, I didn't really look at the weather. I was seeing snow maybe next Sunday. You know, but I said, but I'd like to see some white stuff. And Reed said, no, not around our house, not around our house. Well, you know, there was a conflict there. I would believe in snow and they not believe in snow. So we got a little bit of snow. This is just humor. You know what I mean? But Reed said, not around my house.
I said, up there where you at.
Up there where we at. But you know what? If you take everything in life and relate it to the word, your life will be full of blessing. Amen. As the rain comes down, the Bible says, as the rain comes down and it waters the earth, it has a purpose. You have a purpose. As that snow comes down and covers the earth, it says, so has God washed our sin as far as the east is from west. Like our sins were scarlet, but now they become as white as snow. Because of his blood, because of his sacrifice. I'm not picking that the Rees don't like snow, but you know what I mean? Everything the Bible says has a season and a purpose. There's nothing new under the earth, nothing new under the sun, the word says. There's no temptation. Reed taught a good message about how to triumph over every temptation. There's no temptation that has come new to us as such as common to man. It was common to the man, Christ Jesus. And through every temptation, he found somewhere where his Father said, it is written. It has been written. It has been spoken. It has been settled. You know, the saying is, I had a little bit different. I think I spoke it last Sunday. God said it. I used to say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. God said it, that settles it, and I believe it. Because it don't matter what I think compared to what God has said. It don't matter what I think. It's settled. The Bible says His word is forever settled in heaven. He can cut a covenant of love with us in the beginning. God said, in the beginning, Brother Copeland said, anywhere you see God in the Bible, just put love there. In the beginning, love said. Love. He loves us, period. That's His whole purpose for mankind. What are we talking about this year? I think it might go till Jesus comes, talking about the will of the Lord. Thy kingdom come. When Jesus came, He came to show us the will of the Father. Why? Because we didn't know what it was. The world was consumed with sin because of the law. The law had a purpose. Talking about the Old Testament law, it had a purpose until the purpose came. Jesus came. That was the whole purpose. And what was His purpose? To destroy the devil. To destroy the works of the devil. To destroy the works of sin. Once and for all. See, sin. There's a lot of sins, but there's one sin that Jesus destroyed. The devil. His works. All His works are evil, the devil's works. And Jesus, on His sacrifice, on that cross, when He was risen, He lived a sinless life. He gave His blood as a sacrifice. That finished the Old Testament. It is finished, He said. Can I get an amen? Jesus said it's finished. So we got to settle it today forevermore. My blessing is settled. My healing is settled. My future is settled. My children's life, their education, their whole existence is blessed. That's what I got to say. I don't care what it looks like. It didn't look pretty when Jesus was born. There was no room for Him. No room for God? Look at the world. Look at the world now. They don't want, they're pushing, try to push God out of everything. Anytime we want to mention His name, they won't, no, we can't say that. That's wrong. We've been taught wrong. The separation of church and state is not for the government, the state, to tell us what to do. It's for us to say, you don't have no business telling the church what to do. Amen. That's why it was given, to have our freedom of religion, to worship God freely. I told you, I flunked world history. I didn't know my rights, my constitutional rights. And I still got a lot to learn. There's not a lot of them. But we've been told, oh, that ain't what that means. Read it. Right? They wrote it for a purpose, and they all signed it. It's called the Declaration. They declared something. Amen? They left Great Britain to come to America to get free from religious bondage. The state worship, the government set up, this is the way it's going to worship. This is why America was established, and until Jesus returns, until the church is taken out of here, that's what America will stand for. And that's what the churches of America have got to stand for, right? Freedom of our choice to freely worship God and to teach His word and to be a central place where people can come and get hope and get set. Man, just think about me. When I was a kid, if there had been no gospel, there'd be no Pastor Jackson. I don't know if I'd be alive. I heard the good news somewhere. I heard about Jesus and His love for me. We are essential, period. The church, Jesus is essential. If you say the church ain't essential, you're saying Jesus ain't essential. And I pray God's mercy for people that's doing that. Not judgment. I pray mercy for them. Amen. God's mercy and grace. We're supposed to pray. We're the light. We're the salt. And if we lose our flavor, who else is going to preach His good news? Come on. We got to preach the good news. We got to shout it from the housetop that Jesus is good. God is good. And He's got good things. If we would just hear those good things, be partakers of them. We're talking about the will of God this year. Lord, Your will be done. I went through, I think this is part 5. I might be right, Pastor Reed. I'm just going to say in the continuation, we're continuing. this is a series, and it'll be a series until we're done. But we talked about, last Sunday, we talked about faith begins where what? Where the will of God, not just written, it's known. In other words, I didn't have faith to believe on Jesus as my Savior until I knew that He was my Savior. Until I knew. And when I believed and I knew, faith came. Faith begins when I believed it was God's will to save me. Saving faith came. That saving faith that comes from God's Word. And I reached out and I said, Lord, I need you. And as soon as I said that, I got changed. I was born again. I was made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Not on the outside, on the inside. And a change started on my life. I wanted to go to church. You didn't have to tell me to get up and go. I wanted to go to church. God changed my want to. Yes. And nobody can change your want to except you. So don't look around at everybody's doing different things. What do you want to do? God said, what shall I do for thee? He's saying, what shall I do for thee? Man, he wants to do great things in our lives, but do we want to surrender our lives to him? Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And when you do that, it's not that he's going to keep bad things. He's going to keep bad things from you, but he's trying to get all blessing to you. And how can the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? I can't be in disagreement of the word and God walk together and bless me the way he wants to. He loves me. That's not going to change. I don't want to be ahead of God. I want to be walking with God. Amen. Amen. This is all not in the notes, so I hope you receive this today. Amen. Amen. The best messages I ever bring is when I don't know what I'm going to say. Amen. Because I am being a frog for Jesus. Does anybody know what that means? I'm fully relying on God. Frog. Now, when I think of frogs, I think of little rascals. Froggy. Remember Froggy? Yeah. Some of the little rascals were good, but their tactics were really bad. They were rebellious kids. They're called rascals. There was a rascal in the Bible. Anybody know what his name was? I think it was Jacob. He was called a heel grabber. Little rascal. Jacob was a little rascal. But let me tell you something. He wrestled with God because he didn't like who he was. There was a wrestling that took place. God wasn't the one that wanted to be the... He didn't want to start that wrestling match. Jacob was the heel grabber. He was the one, but God still worked with that young man. Amen? And out of him came the 12 tribes of Israel. Ain't that awesome? What does God want to do in your life? See, God looks... God's not just seeing you, Carrie. He's seeing generations. He's seeing your children's children's children. So see, what I do matters. What I do for God matters what happens in their lives, good or bad. Now, they're held accountable for what they do. You know, my sins are not passed on to my other children. You understand? You understand? Jesus took my sin. That's wrong. But what I can do, if I don't confess my sin and give it to God, the devil can work in all that stuff. But man, when you confess Jesus as your Lord, he takes up residence. Say residence. On the inside. And makes a difference on the outside for generations. Because the Bible says, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. God's always got the upper hand. He's a winner. Amen. Even though sometimes we might lose a battle, we're going to win the war in the end if we stay faithful to Jesus. Amen. And faint not. Don't get weary in well-doing. Be a well-doer. We're well-doers. We well-diggers. We dig wells, don't we? Because we like to be well. I was trying to figure out how I could relate. Back in the Old Testament, they dug wells. That was water, man. Well, they didn't have pumps. they didn't have well pumps. You just didn't go to the spigot and say, oh, we got some good running water. No, they dug wells. And then they took the tin bucket and they put the bucket down in the well and they drawed it out. Jordan. If you were in the Old Testament, Wayne would say, Jordan, go to the well and get us some water and bring it back. She had to walk. She had to let the pail bucket down and bring it up. That was work, buddy. That wasn't just go to the spigot, turn the spigot on. So we are living in a better covenant. Can I get an amen? Than the Old Testament. You don't want to go back to the old. Learn from the old ways. I don't want to go back to black and white TV. I like my high def full color. Amen?
Yeah.
I don't like to be the remote control. Can I get an amen? Go turn that to channel 3. It ain't just like, Siri, turn the TV to channel 3. No, Wayne, we walked to the TV and we turned it, and then we had to take some aluminum foil if you grew up in my days, and you had to put it on the antenna, and you say, now hold it, take a little to the right. Don't move, don't move, don't move.
Go outside, turn the antenna.
Didn't that was broad. I was called broadband. I was pretty broad. I was spread out like this. Don't move. The Beverly Hillbillies, this is the best episode. Come let me tell you about a man named Jed. The poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. But then one day he was looking for some gold. Oh. Come on now. Looking for some food. I was looking for God. Man, I hit a gusher. When you turn around and look for God, man, I hit a gusher. His out of your spirit, the Bible says, once you get born again, out of your spirit shall flow rivers, rivers, rivers. We need to sing on some rivers, Wayne. Pray about that. Rivers of living water springing upward. That's the well of salvation. I'm talking about the well now. You getting the picture? We still got wells to dig. He's given us wells of salvation that religion tries to put stones and rocks in them and keep that good stuff from flowing out. See, that's what religion will do. It'll stop up the well. Amen? I call it damn religion. D-A-M-N. No, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. D-A-M. Damn religion. What does a dam do? It blocks and it restricts the water from coming down. Religion will block up, it'll dam up that well of salvation because it's all about what you got to do. And every time you add you're throwing another rock in the well. Amen. That's going to stop that water, God's goodness, from springing to the top. Amen? Amen? This is the will of God for us, that we walk according to the Word, not according to the world. It's a way of doing things. That's the way I want to walk, and that's the way I want to talk. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, for Scriptures 1 of 20 we'll go out today. No, just kidding. There is about 20 here. Proverbs. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 19:21. I made a note here, laptop, that means, Robert, Pastor, go to your laptop. And I got a history on here. You know, you have a history. What if I tell you, you're just an old sinner, man? You say, oh, Pastor, that history's gone. You could call that, a lot of things we're trying to cancel culture, that's dead, Lord. That's dead, that's the old man. Because my life is made new in Christ. I have a future. Now, I'm making history, and it's a whole lot better than what it used to be. It's a bright future. Thank you, Jesus. Let me see here. What did I say? Proverbs? My history is kind of being wrong. No, let's see. I'm hitting the wrong arrow. So you can go forward or you can go back in your history. Amen. How far? Don't you go back too far. Go back to where you got born again. That's where your life changed. Amen.
That's right.
That's where your witness began. Now you can use your old history to show what a difference God's done in your life. Amen. You compare it. You make it a contrast to what God has done and doing in your life. But Proverbs 19:21 says, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Many things that we want to do, but is it what God wants us to do?" See, Proverbs are little parables of wisdom, of nuggets of wisdom that Solomon learned from his dad, from King David. You're a king, King Jesus. We serve King Jesus. And his word is still active and alive in these Proverbs. There's many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. See, this is where we've got to take a stand as the church. Can I get an amen? Amen. And no matter what happens in the White House, we have to stand against anything that's coming out that's not the counsel of the Lord.
Amen.
Pro-life, baby's life, all lives matter. So we've got to stand against abortion continually. That's child sacrifice in the Old Testament. Come on, can I get a weak amen? That's wrong. It's not right. It's not righteousness. So we have to stand against that. We don't compromise that. Amen? As the church, we don't compromise life. We don't compromise what God has said is evil and try to make it good. That's deception. That's deception. Because, see, we could do something. It's probably, I think we've done it before. There's so many research and all these things. I could take something, write it down, and pass it to read. In other words, take a sentence and write it down, and everybody read that sentence, whether it be 10 people, 20 people, 30 people. And when it comes back, it's going to be said a little bit different. It's just human nature. What you put before your eyes ends up going in your heart and comes out your mouth. But not everything is truth. Not everything coming before our eyes is the truth. Well, how do we know if it's not the truth? What has God said? But then you got the Holy Ghost, because a lot of times the devil, he knows the word. It's just not living on the inside of the devil, because he rebelled. He is the father. He is the murderer from the beginning, the Bible says, the devil. He took God's word and he twisted it, and he deceived Adam and Eve. That's mankind. That's the human race. You want to talk about race? There's only one race, the human race that God created. It's not about color. Come on. Amen. We're all from God. We were created in God's image and his likeness. All flesh is on this earth. Mankind, the flesh might be different colors, but the spirit all came from God. Man, what a sad world it looked like if we all looked like me. Come on, somebody's supposed to encourage me or something. Say, no, Pastor, you look all right. You talk all right. There's all kind of languages. And man, God is God, and he's so good at what he's done.
Amen.
And it gets messed up when we try to change it. When we try to change what God said was good. Because he finished it. When he said he created it, he said, you're good, Tammy. Elaine, you good. All that his word is a covenant. When he said everything, he said we were very good compared to the animals. And everything else that he created, he said, man is very good. That should be our confession every day. Even to those that don't have a covenant with God, Lord, you said they're very good. Now the devil got in there and messed it up, so you can take authority over that devil. That spirit that's working in the children of disobedience, those children grow up and become adults of disobedience. Carrie could testify to a lot of that where he's worked. But the word can change a situation. Young or old, it don't matter. Because I was in my 30s when God's word got in my life. Give or take a few years, I'd have to do the math on that. 54 minus 22 years, or 21. Amen. If the word is working. I think it was Brother Ingalls, the word is working mightily in me. That little jingle. Charles Capps, that was his theme song on his ministry. The word is working mightily in me. You got to let it work. You want to be a mighty man, woman of God? Let the word of God work in your life. Amen. Start young. Man, we fed our children Gerber baby formulas, and we fed them the word. Amen. They didn't understand it yet. You don't have to understand it to believe it. The understanding will come. When you get the word, you get the good word. See, the knowledge of good. God said stay away from the knowledge of good and evil. But see, God was all good. So he was going to feed Adam and Eve good things, good things, good things. But then they got a knowledge of evil. Now they had to make a decision. See, that was the problem. God said, Adam, have you ate of that tree? Who told you were naked? I didn't tell you were naked. Somebody else is telling you lies. Now, they were naked, but God, that wasn't a problem. The problem was God didn't say you were. Amen. Amen. We can get in a lot of trouble. Has God said? I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. Just don't answer that question unless you know. Don't guess. Amen. That's where we get in trouble. I guess he said this. Don't guess what I say. You find it in the Word. And when you find it, you can trust God on it. And then the will of God, you'll have faith for that. And you can step out in faith. I said, you can step out in faith. Amen. And you can walk on water. You can step out in faith and you can defeat cancer. Not you, Christ in you. But your confession of Christ in you, you can walk free from any sickness, any disease, any calamity. But we've got to hold fast. Say, hold fast. That confession of faith of what we just believed. Because you'll get past, you might not have all the understanding, but you believed, right? So God can work with that. You believe. I believed in my heart, and then I confess with my mouth. So sometimes it takes you just keep on believing, and you keep on confessing it until you possess it. In other words, the possession is not you grabbing it. It's, It comes because the Word brings it. That's what faith is. Believing things you can't see are going to come to pass.
Amen.
Amen. I believe God called me to preach the Word. I saw myself preaching at Spirit of Faith Worship Center. That was on Sunderland Road. I actually saw myself, and one day I was there. Now, Jim, he didn't let me preach long. He gave me about 5 or 10 minutes, but that's all I needed, because what? He was training me. Amen. You don't take Jordan. She's 16, right? She's driving now, right? 17. All right. But Wayne didn't give her the keys until she was 16, maybe 15. You know, driver's ed training. Why? I'm wanting to see if she knows what she's doing, because that car costs some money, right? Landon's going to grow up one day. He might have a desire to have a motorcycle like Pastor.
But outside.
But before Grandpa Papa Henry or Jack, old Henry, whichever one Landon calls you, is that old Henry? You call it Papa Jack. He's going to make sure he knows how to ride a bicycle before he gives him a Honda Goldwing. I don't really care for the Goldwings. I like the Cruisers. Or the Harleys. Harley. Harleys cost a whole lot more. But what are you paying for? You're paying for the name. You bear the mark of a Christian. So make some noise for Jesus. Come on. Take the mufflers off. And make some noise in your neighborhood for Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's what the Harleys need. Harley. You can be a Christian and ride a Harley. And you can be a Christian, you can ride a Honda. Amen? It ain't what you ride, it's what you profess. And I'm a Christian. And I will not compromise my stand. Amen? In Christ alone. Hallelujah. And one of my vehicles, I'm believing for a motorcycle. Now, I didn't say it, but God knows what my desire is. And that's before I get older, Carrie. I don't want to wait till I'm 84 to ride either a Harley or a Honda. I'm stuck between the H's. I'll take a Harley. I might ride it and sell it and get me two Hondas. Amen. Because it's about for the price of a Harley, you could probably get two nice Hondas. Or I like Yamahas. Wayne plays a Yamaha. So, Lord, he might be playing me a Yamaha in here. I don't know. But I tell you what, I haven't ridden in a long time, but I've got the principle. I got the license to prove that I passed the motorcycle test. Amen. I don't have an ID in my back pocket to prove I'm a Christian, but I wear the mark in my heart. By what I say, what I do, and you'll know that song, you'll know us by our love. I don't care how ugly you been, I'm still going to love you. And it might be hard sometimes. It's hard for me to love somebody that's saying it's okay for a child that's been aborted and that child lives, but the law says, the doctor says, you can't help that child. Man, this is the place we are in our world, that there's people that believe it's okay because of that person's choice overrides this baby's choice that doesn't have a voice yet. That's wrong. God is that voice. God's Word is that voice for that child. He said it in His Word. It's wrong. Life. You know, back in the Old Testament, you kill, it was pretty much a light, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. If you killed a baby, they're coming to kill you. I tell you what, we'd have a lot more. They'd think about that a lot more if that's the law we carried out nowadays, wouldn't it? You know, you get locked up and you get TV, you get fed three times a day, watching ESPN, sports. I mean, I'm just saying, I haven't been to jail, but I hear it's pretty good. It ain't dungeons like Paul was in. It ain't dark, deep, and rats and crawling around. That ain't what Daddy was in jail. Daddy was in prison. We went to see him on Sundays. He stood out. He was all white. But it ain't the white I related to now. But they were all dressed in white. And, you know, it still was separation from family, but he wasn't out there with a chain and a hammer. You know, what I've seen prisons used to be. And it didn't do him much good, I tell you. We'd go see him every Sunday. As a kid, I can remember my favorite thing, and this is bad, but because my daddy was bad, I cared more about Kentucky Fried Chicken than I did about my dad. Because we would stop and eat at the KFC. on the way to the prison. That was Sunday meal. That was family, man. That was Kentucky Fried Chicken. We usually had pinto beans and cornbread at home, or hot dogs. But when you go out to Laney's Fish Camp on Sunday, or you go to KFC, that was, man, we were living high then. Because Mama was single. Daddy was drinking all the money. Amen?
Amen.
I remember those times. I could just take those little wipies you get at the end, the lemon wipies. Oh, God, I wanted to eat it. That smelled so good. I can still smell it right now. Give me three of them. I take some to school, you know, after lunch. I remember these things. You can always remember something good even though you're in a bad situation. And it was the grace and mercy and the love of God that was, He was speaking to my spirit. Even my spirit that was dead as a child was still seeking a God that I knew this wasn't right. And I'm just one person of many. There's many people and children around the world that's going through a lot worse than I have, just not having food. Amen? So we're a blessed nation. Don't take for granted the things that we have and our freedoms that we have, that we can freely go and pick a church that we want to go to, pick a restaurant that we want to go to. Man, we're so blessed. Why? I tell my kid, Dallas got a full-time job this year. The bank he's been working with, they been wanting him to know he applied for the offer and he got it. So he's doubly making what I was making at his age. You know what that is? That's the blessing of the Lord. It maketh rich. And you know, the first thing I texted, remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that gives thee the power to get wealth.
That's right.
And if you'll do that, man, you'll just keep going up. Amen? So everything that we have that's good comes from God. Everything that was created perfect until, the Bible says, pride was found in one of God's creations, Lucifer. It was found in him. God didn't put it there. Lucifer found it. He didn't like God giving a man. He'd never seen a man before. And then gave him the whole earth to rule and reign over it like gods. See, we're not the God, but we are sons and daughters of God. We are gods. In this earth, God created us. Gods. We're His family. You are the family of God.
Amen.
You carry His DNA if you're born again. Amen. Now we know our position. God is sovereign. There's no one that sits on the throne but Him. He sits there. It's His throne. But there's another that sits beside Him, the Son. And the Bible says we are seated with Him. Not God, but He is God. Ain't that crazy? Ain't that awesome? Crazy awesome. Amen. That we are seated with Him, with Christ, in the heavenly places.
Amen.
That's our place of position now. Amen. To sit with God on the throne and to sit on Daddy's lap. That's the way you see it. That's the way God sees it. Remember? Take you to Santa Claus, sit him on the lap and take a picture. That was what Christmas was about. But it was wrong. I'm not saying Christmas is wrong. You understand? It's what are you telling your children? We told our children the difference. We still took them and set them on Santa. Now, Dallas, gosh, he screamed bloody murder. Some of your kids, you know, you got the pictures. They crying and whining. Take a smile from Mom and Daddy. Torture them. Take them to the mall. JCPenney Mall. Santa's there. But you've got to balance it. You've got to teach kids what Christmas is really about. Now, Kris Kringle, there's a good story there of a saint that's still good, but you got to make sure you never put Saint Christopher over Jesus, over Christmas, right? And if you don't give them the balance, that scale can tip, and you get to be 24 years old and you're still looking up at the sky looking for Rudolph. Been there. Done that, you know. On the inside, is there really, you know, because if you don't have the truth, you'll fall for anything. I used to believe in Sasquatch. I told you that. Bigfoot. Scared of that stuff. Man, me and my wife, when we first got married. Oh, there she is. I better not be talking about this. She's usually teaching children's church. She walked in with that shield. I'm like, whoa, man, she got that shield. But what was I talking about? Sasquatch. Bigfoot. See, when me and Sherry got married, we didn't have children. Amen. That's a good thing. You date, you get married, then you have children. But so we lived in an all-adult trailer park. Let me give you some revelation. Like Jesse says, there's no trailer parks in heaven.
All right.
Nothing against trailer, but that's not God's vision for us. His vision is bigger and better.
That's right.
Amen? Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. What was I talking about? Ron's scratching his head and so am I. The will of God. We're talking about the will of God. God's will for me and Sherry was good from the beginning. We got married in a church, got married by a pastor, but neither one of us were saved. There's a lot of people like that. They got the right intentions, but my good intentions don't get me to heaven. It's faith in Jesus that gets me to heaven. But we still, at least we still had the principle of you go to church, you go to a pastor, you know, we asked for counseling, and he gave it. I just didn't receive it. Amen. Nothing against the pastor. I just didn't receive Jesus. I just wanted my wife and get married. I wanted to start our life, you know, away from mom and got our own place. It wasn't the best place, but it was a place. It was cold in the winter because our heater worked 20% of the time. And it was hot in the summer because our air conditioner worked 20% of the time. But I'm living the blessed life now. Amen. My air condition works. My heat works. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, in the beginning, it wasn't so. We lived in an all-adult trailer park because that's just the way that was set up. If you had kids, you couldn't live there. You could have a dog, but that's just the way the trailer park was set up. We was okay with that until we started thinking about having kids. So we were in the process. So what was I talking about? Sasquatch. Yeah, the reason I was talking about that is because that trailer park, it lived kind of in the woods. That's back when they had woods on 150. Now it's nothing but malls and Carrie, they ain't hardly on 150, man. Everything just got built up where there used to be some trees out there and the lake. And there's some weird noises out there. My wife's working, you know, late at Big Lots. You know, I'm hearing things. I'm thinking about there's Bigfoot, man. There's Bigfoot sightings. And I would have nightmares of some kind of creature coming in that back door. And I tell you what, a trailer, man, you ain't got to have much to get in a trailer. You can have you a screwdriver and get in a trailer. You ain't got to have a crowbar. You just don't have to. So I was in fear. I didn't show it around my buddies, you know. Ah, Bigfoot come my way. I take care of him. That was a lie. But then I got born again. No longer am I scared of spiders. I don't care much for them. I'll let them have their space, but if they get in mine, I'm going to take some Raid to them. I just don't like them. I just never have. But I used to be in fear of them. I was in fear of them. I mean, we had one in that trailer. Sherry can contest to this. You remember, you used to go to the grocery store and get Coca-Cola in a bottle, and then you would save the bottles and take them back to the grocery store and get a refund. Can I get an amen? I'm not the only old person in here. So we had some bottles over there, and there was one evening we heard some clinking going on. Clink, clink, clink. But it was, you could hear like something hitting the bottles. What in the world is going on, you know? So I go investigating and share my add to the story. I'm not sure exactly how. But we moved something, and one of them big old, is there a wolf, spider, whatever you call them, took off on the floor. You know, that thing about the big as a man's hand. Tink, 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 tink. Man, I'm probably destroying the kitchen trying to get rid of that spider. Huge spider. Fear. I was in fear of spiders. But Bigfoot, when I got born again, I found out that fear, God gave me faith. I don't believe in Bigfoot because I never see a family of Bigfeet. The Bible says, male, you want to have a family, you got to have a male and a female.
That's right.
And they have children, that's called a family. I've never seen Bigfeet. I've never seen a family of Bigfeet. They always show this guy, this hairy thing running through the woods. Where's mama? Where's the babies? There's no such thing. They can't reap. There's no family. I'm sorry. Is somebody dripping? But I'm not scared of anything hairy or big in the woods. Amen. I got the word of God. I got the sword. Now, I don't hang around in the woods when it gets dark. I'm not afraid to camp, but, you know, we all have these little fears. But you got to watch. They can turn into a big one. Those little foxes spoil the wine. They keep growing and keep growing. Next thing you know, you have a spirit of fear. It's okay. The Bible says it's okay to have sudden fear. If I walk out the door, Leo's there, and he's like, hey, that's sudden fear. But it's when you stand up to that fear and speak faith, it flees. See, that's the difference between being afraid and having a spirit of fear. And see, there's a lot of people in churches that have got a spirit of fear that don't want to come back to church. I'm just saying, because this is what happened. When you plant fear, you harvest fear. You know, we have one of our ladies here, you know, and it's okay, Boosie, she's not sure about church now. So we need to be praying for her. Call her. Love her. She has to totally make that decision, but I don't want it to be where we have a spirit of fear. Amen. Nothing wrong with caution, but not that spirit of fear, because the next thing you know, I don't need church at all. Or family, nursing homes. Think about people, how they're going to open these things back up. See, we got to use wisdom. We got to use God's word. And we got to stand on his promises. Jesus was not restricted from going anywhere. Now, he still, he wouldn't go, if somebody didn't want him in his house, he wouldn't go barging in, but it did not keep him from bringing the will. What is the will of the Lord? The will of the Father. To do good. To go. Jesus went about doing good. Come on, finish it. Doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. Now, the ones he healed all was the ones that wanted healing. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. So if they didn't know, if they didn't receive Jesus as the healer, he would say to his disciples, go, preach, the kingdom of God has come to you. Preach the good news. We ain't got to go to the priest anymore. Jesus is here. Man, he says, if somebody asks you for your coat, give them everything you got. And it'll come back to you. This is what Jesus was preaching. And he said, now, he sent 70 out. He said, now go. Whatever Jesus was preaching and teaching, you do likewise. Whatever he was teaching that day, read, go out to the neighborhood, if he was one of the 70. And they said, they came back rejoicing. Not sad. I'm sure, and they were getting persecuted too. But they came back rejoicing that the devils, they had authority over the devils in the name of Jesus. But Jesus said, whoa, don't get caught up in pride. Don't rejoice because of the devil. Rejoice because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, their eternal destiny. That's the whole gospel. The good news of God wants you to live forever with him. And it starts today. Amen. It can start right here today. If you're sick, you can get healed today. If you're poor, your poverty, Jesus took it. And you can start experiencing prosperity. That's what we're talking about. Prosperity ain't just having all the money in the bank. Prosperity is having more than what you had before. Amen. Amen. I like to say true prosperity is having enough to give, to meet your needs, and then have enough to bless somebody else. That's true prosperity, not just so you can get your needs met and you're living paycheck to paycheck. That's not God's true prosperity. He wants you to, he blessed us to be a blessing. So we need to be receiving that, expecting that full blessing. Amen. In the church. I was thinking about that Sasquatch story, if I told everything or not. I mean, I'm out here riding. I even see people, they'll take a, y'all probably seen this, they'll take a cutout, a black cutout, and they'll set it by a tree. To when you're driving at night and if your headlights hit it, Tammy, it looks like a shadow of Bigfoot. I'm like, why you want to do that for? There's some kids out there that see that, man, they get in fear. But to an adult, you know, they're just... saw it at Walmart, had to buy it, had to take it home. You know, I remember Ruthie when she was all caught up in, y'all help me. What was that group? One Direction. I didn't care too much for that group, but did we get her something for Christmas? We got it. She got the cutout of one of the singers, you know, life size. And she put it up in a room. You know, remember when I used to have Farrah Fawcett on my refrigerator when I was growing up? You know, we had, you know, you know what you do. You put the picture on there. That's the vision. But unless the Lord build a house, come on, unless the Lord build your vision, it's in vain. Because Farrah Fawcett, I didn't marry Farrah Fawcett. I married Sherry back here, Sherry Jackson. So see, my vision was wrong. You know, sometimes you can get too many things on your refrigerator and can get your vision cloudy. Amen. I'm not saying somebody married Farrah Fawcett. It was Lee Majors, right? Okay. God has one, everybody say one. One help meet for each and everybody. Amen. And if there is the gift God gives, singleness, you marry the Lord. That's also in the word. Nothing wrong with that. It's a special gift. I didn't have that special gift because Sherry was chasing me down till she got me. I think she was chasing a lot of Chevrolets and she finally found a Ford. I'm looking over this way, right? Y'all know she's back here in the back. Yeah. Nothing wrong with a Chevrolet. Just Fords are first on Resurrection Day. Ford. First on Resurrection Day. Amen. I'm just telling you all these little things I've been heard. That ain't true. My Ford's not going when I go to heaven. I mean, it's staying down here. I'm sorry. But we're coming back. I mean, my Ford's going to be rusty and trusty for 3.5 years. We're coming back. You know, when Jesus takes the church and we go spend, we have the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven, right? And then we come back with Him. Because He's going to execute judgment on the earth. And we're going to reign with Christ here for 1,000 years. And I'm going to be driving my Ford, riding my Harley or my Honda, loving God, loving people, proclaiming Jesus is King. Yes. Because He's going to have His throne. He's going to be sitting upon His throne in Jerusalem. The place that the USA said the embassy needs to go to where it said it. All those years it was prophesied and it happened. Amen. Amen. America helped make it happen. Amen. We help fulfill the word of God. We're always going to be pro-Israel. If you're a Christian, you need to be pro-Israel. Praying for the peace of Jerusalem, for the peace of Israel. Amen. We're commanded. That's the apple of His eye. He said in His word. But God likes big apples. Come on. He's got a big apple. It ain't just New York. New York's included. It's called the Big Apple, right? Vivian, is this okay? I've gone, I'm kind of way out there today. None of this was pre-planned, hardly. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord, hallelujah. We're going to close right here off the first scripture this morning. Tammy's like, yeah, that's usually about the way it happens. We got a couple papers, and sometimes it'll be one scripture. But I tell you what, God is good. Man, we have fellowship with the King of Kings today.
Amen.
We have laid our vision list before Him.
Amen.
And that might not be all your vision list. That's just what the Lord gave me. Expand on it. I said expand on it. When you turn your oven, when you get home, and you've got, I'm sure all the ladies here, y'all got an oven in your house, right? If you're going to cook a roast, you just don't throw that thing in there and say, come back in two or three hours, do you? No. What do you do? What's the first thing you got to do? Come on, Pastor Reed, this is your season. I didn't think about that. Season the meat.
You
got to
wash it first.
Got to wash it.
You got to go somewhere else and eat.
Got to go somewhere else and eat it. There you go.
Come to my house.
Somebody better preheat the oven.
Yeah.
I'm an appliance man. I work on it. I get all complaints. My oven's not. It's taking it too long to preheat. How long has God got to preheat His church before we get ready to do the work of the ministry? How many messages, how many sermons have we got to get the people prepared to go do the work of the ministry? It shouldn't be long. Let me tell you, you know what you can do? To help your oven get to preheat temperature, whether it be 350, that's default setting, 350. I guess because everything cooks good at 350, I don't know. I can't drive 55, is that old song? I can't drive 55. You tell me 55, I'm going to drive 60. But if that recipe says 350, don't you go 400. Because somebody has tried 400 and it didn't work too good.
Yeah, it burned.
It burned, amen. There's only one God. And one Savior, Jesus Christ. There's only one way to the Father. No other temperature, no other God's going to get you there. And if you go past, if you try to go to heaven in any other way, you're going to burn up. I said you're going to burn up forever. There's an eternal hell and there's an everlasting heaven that's been prepared for the Lord and His family that call on His name. Amen. God didn't create the fire. The devil started that. It was created for the devil and his angels. But the devil wanted company. Misery always wants company. And he came against God's creation. But God had a plan and still does. His name is Jesus. And He'll get in the fire and He'll snatch you out of the fire. I don't care how hot you're in, what kind of flame you've been in, what kind of sin you've been in. Jesus will come in and He'll take you out and you won't even smell like you used to be. He did it to three Hebrew boys that believed and trusted in Him. When the world said they were crazy, Jesus said, go to the fire, I'll be there with you, and you'll come out without even smelling like smoke. That's the Jesus we serve. That's the Jesus of this church. And He's my Lord, and He's my Savior, and He's coming again. Amen. For a bride that's going to be without spot or wrinkle. Amen? That's not physical. That's spiritual. In other words, we stand for truth. We stand for what's right. Amen? So, Father, I thank You, Lord, for this message. That, Lord, we're believing and trusting Your will be done in our lives, in our city, in our nation, in the world, Lord. And until You come, Father, we thank You we're going to occupy. We're going to not let any fear, doubt, or anything that any anti-Christ, anything that's against Your teaching, compromise Your word. And we thank You, Lord. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank You for taking this message today and taking it deep in our spirits and revealing things to us to come in our lives, in our nation, that we'll be prepared for His coming, prepared for the Lord's coming. Not getting ready, we're prepared now. And if we're not, Lord, turn the heat up on us. Turn Your heat up on us. Turn it up, Lord. Purge us of anything. That means cleanse us of anything in our mind that's not lining up to Your word. Because we don't want to be last. We want to be first. Thank God for those that's going to be last. But Lord, we want to be first to have that revelation, to know. And Father, we thank You, Lord. We lift up Ruthie right now, Father. We thank You, Lord, for touching her body, for a hamstring, Lord, that was damaged. Lord, we thank You. We've already set our faith. And Lord, we just give You thanks right now, Father God, that she has a desire to play ball without any injuries. And Lord, that's not Your will in her life. We know accidents happen, but Father God, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. You sent Your word and brought healing to Ruthie in Gaffney, South Carolina. 2 days ago when she was hurt, she's been healed 2,000 years ago. And we just agree and send forth that word. Thank You for manifesting it, Lord, that she'll be playing when I'm off 2 Saturdays from today. In Jesus' name. And Father, I thank You, Lord, for every request that's been made to You through our vision statement today, that, Lord, whether it be quick, Lord, the process is due. Due process. There shall be a due season. And we're believing, Lord, whether it's fast, we don't want to rush people. We know people's involved, Lord, but we just thank You right now that they do not determine the blessing in our life. Only You and Your word determines that. And we give You the praise for that in Jesus' name. Anybody need personal prayer? Be glad to pray with you now. Got a praise report. Yep.
Praise God.